Revelation chapter 12, verses 5 through 12. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea! For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time. Verse 5. She gave birth to a man-child. He rules all nations with a rod of iron. The child was taken up to God's throne. This verse reveals to us the next step of the unfolding development. After the great wonder in the verses 1 and 2, and another wonder in the verses 3 and 4, we behold the wonder of wonders. The man-child was born to rule. Great wonders, totally unlikely and invisible to carnal eyes, are revealed and clearly manifested in the sight of our Father's children. The revelation of Jesus Christ, his Father and ours, gives to him to unfold it to us. A woman in childbirth pain could never resist the threat of that awful monster without our mighty God's power adornment. God alone, and he personally, adorned his precious flock with the sunshine of his righteousness, and that ugly enemy cannot take it away, John 10:29. This great monster has been defeated by the suffering Lamb since the beginning, 1 Peter 1:19-20. Shamelessly he returns back again and again, just to suffer another defeat of his. In the times of patriarchs, judges, prophets, and kings, whenever our God's people trusted, obeyed, and waited on our Lord, the enemy was defeated. When the promised child Jesus, our Lord, was born, all the dark fallen spirits were moved with rage to extinguish the light of truth sent from above, and the devil failed once more. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, in Mark chapter 1, verse 13, and in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, Satan is experiencing a complete fiasco. For the sinless Son of our God, every testing is a manifestation of the constant victory of light against darkness. John 1:5. This child is up on his Father's throne, high above sin and evil desires, John 3:13, Philippians 3:20, and Ephesians chapter 2. In Matthew, from the verse 47 in the chapter 26 to the verse 54 in the chapter 27. In Mark, from the verse number 43 in chapter 14 to the verse number 39 in chapter 15. In Luke, from the verse 47 in chapter 22 to the verse 47 in chapter 23. And in John, from the verse number 3 in chapter 18 to the verse number 30 in chapter 19, we can perceive a small part of the great battle. Even as our blessed Redeemer's body is suffering beyond description and is bleeding to death, and our God's just judgment for our sin is crushing his pure soul, Satan's fortress is crumbling. All of the wicked devices the devil has been building since the beginning, the towers of pride, the craftiest lies, his strongest shackles, and his heaviest yokes, all that he trusted in is crumbling when this ruler's scepter of iron just touches them on behalf of genuinely repenting sinners. His scepter judges all sins of the humanity. His offering redeems all the obedient. To them his rod of iron secures the evergreen pastures and the fountain of living water. Their old man of sin is crushed by this ruler's rod of iron, and the new child of our heavenly Father has been born and given to the tender loving care of this shepherd of shepherds. How he loves his little lambs! Christ's scepter never compromises the perfect divine justice. He received our judgment and death, compressed in his suffering on the pillar of suffering and shame. But the judgment of impenitent sinners is spread for them in eternity. Revelation chapter 2 verse 11, chapter 20 verse 6, 14, 15, and chapter 21 verse 8. Here I would suggest listening to my corresponding gospel presentations. Verse 6. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1260 days. Before the birth of her child, she suffered in childbirth pain. Now she fled into the wilderness. The fellowship of the redeemed souls on earth often suffered, always labored, and prevailed. This is a part of the beautiful sunshine, our Lord's adornment of God's flock in the wilderness. In the wilderness our Master defeated the tempter. In the wilderness the rebellious Hebrews perished, but a mighty host of godly Israelites was born. In the wilderness Elijah received God's glorious revelation. In the wilderness John, the son of Zechariah, preached. In the wilderness our Lord Jesus fed multitudes with a few loaves and fish, and commanded his disciples to gather up the fragments that remained, that nothing be lost. John 6, 5-13. Lot preferred a city rather than wilderness, and his family perished. In the wilderness God named Abram, God's friend, the faithful Abraham. In Genesis 24:63, Isaac went out to meditate in the field and met his bride Rebekah. In Hebrews 13:10-15 are these words: We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. The bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us be offering our praise to God continually. For a lusting, blind sinner, sinful cities are like centers of satisfaction and abundant life. But wilderness is to him a threat of losing sinful opportunities. For the souls redeemed in Christ, the greater the distance between us and the influence of the worldly wickedness, the less distraction we suffer in adoration, our charity and godly testimony. This wilderness is not aimless wandering, but total dependence on our Father's loving care and safekeeping. Our God has prepared safety and security for us in our full rejection of vanity, pride, lust of the flesh, and lust of eyes. Acts chapter 14 verse 15, Romans chapter 1 verse 21, and chapter 13 verse 14, Mark chapter 7 verses 21 through 23, Galatians chapter 5 verses 16 and 17, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3, and 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 9. The fellowship of Christ's redeemed on earth is abundantly fed in the wilderness, apart from the world in sin and darkness. The entire holy word of God is our bread of heaven. The heavenly host is united with our master's ministers in perpetuating our Savior's feeding multitude with bread and fish. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. And 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12. No poison of worldliness should ever be accepted as a substitute for the pure water of life, purity, modesty, and godly simplicity that flows from the lips of our Lord Jesus. This feasting on the manna from above is our need and our duty. 1260 days, every day, as long as the gospel testimony is proclaimed on this earth. Verses 7 and 8. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought, but prevailed not. Their place was not found anymore in heaven. I need to use some help from the book of Daniel, chapter 10. I wish you would study the entire book of Daniel, or at least this chapter 10, with insight. In Daniel 10:12, our Lord reveals to our brother Daniel the prophet some of the mysterious battle in the sphere of spirits. Because of the limited time and space, not desiring to make this presentation way too long, I am focused on some particular verses. Verse 12. On the day Daniel began to fast and pray, his words were known to God. God's answer was ready, but Daniel did not hear the answer before the 3 weeks of fasting and praying passed. Verse 13. The prince of Persia prevents God's message and action for 3 weeks. God's prince, Michael, helps our Lord. The message reaches Daniel's awareness and understanding. Our Lord still works on the Persian kings. Our Almighty Creator created the universe not depending on the Prince Michael or any other being He, our God, created subsequently, Genesis 1. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 23 and Romans chapter 14 verse 11 indicate that there is no power above our God. Who is this Persian prince able to withstand God and prevent Daniel from getting God's message for 21 days? Matthew chapter 26 verse 54 indicates our Lord Jesus strictly performing his word. Some of his reasons might not be clear to us for a time, or perhaps forever. This is our opportunity to trust Him and fully rely on Him to do our Father's perfect pleasure in all things. He cares for our souls with patient, tender love leading forward. John 16 verses 12 and 13. Our Savior tells us that He prepared His guidance according to our ability of bearing, benefiting, and ministering. My perception is helped by Daniel chapter 10 verse 1. God used the king Cyrus for God's purpose, Ezra chapter 1. But Daniel must not allow the Persian spirit to reduce Daniel's clear understanding of the visions and revelations our Lord gives him, Daniel. We may not rely on the friendly people in the world around us, but on our Lord alone. we may not fear any threat of our circumstances. We reverence our Lord, trust and obey Him. We need to honor all authorities for our Master's sake. Considering Mark chapter 9 verses 28 and 29, Acts chapter 10 verse 30, chapter 13 verse 3, and chapter 14 verse 23, our entire battle is in our Lord's care. As soon as Daniel's heart was ready to hear our Lord's message, the vision was clear. Until that moment, prayer is in place. No power of darkness can withstand the smallest ray of Christ's gospel light. In John chapter 8 verse 12, He, Christ, is our light. In Daniel 10, the war between the angelic forces and the dragon was in Daniel's faith and understanding, in Daniel's heart and mind. Here in the Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, we see a war in heaven. Was this war too close to the throne of God? Was God's safety and comfort in any danger? Observe our Lord and Savior in His flesh in Gethsemane. The horde of Satan's slaves stumbles backwards. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 20, our conversation, citizenship, living day by day is in heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 4, we see that only one God is the true God. But in the next verse, we read that there is a whole heaven of false gods. This heaven is the imaginary pagan heaven. In this Revelation chapter 12 verse 7, we see still the same war as in Daniel 10. It's the battle between the heavenly truth and the carnal, worldly lie and idolatry. The name Michael is translated, "Who is like God?" Michael and his angels are all the godly messengers from heaven and on the way to heaven. The dragon and his messengers are Satan and all the evil spirits together with the slaves of sin and darkness. The war is still going on, although the enemy has been defeated many times. This long war records our great captain's multitude of victories. The war is in heaven and not a single victory is ever in question. God's Lamb is always victorious. The war is about our Lord's kingdom, and our King of Kings constantly is teaching us and training us to be His loyal soldiers. In Matthew chapter 13 verses 24 through 30 and verses 47 through 50. Matthew chapter 22 verses 1 through 14 and chapter 25 verses 1 through 13. The dragon and his angels prevailed not. Michael and his angels are not declared the victors in this battle. Why? All Christians are soldiers of the great King, and all together, just as each individually, are victorious only in Christ, our Lamb of God. The idols are nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 19 and 20. Satan is the real god of idolatry and falsehood. Where are the gods of Egypt, Persia, Babylon, Rome, Aztecs, Incas, and Mayas? Where are the idols of many isms, past and present? Racism, capitalism, communism, atheism, fascism, and nationalism? Did any of them ever create the paradise all of them promised? They are all defeated, cast to their own dust, their hopes forever lost. Yet the poor shackled sinners lost in darkness and deception still worship the lifeless dust of Satan's deception and rebellion. The devil and his angels are fallen from heaven. All the idols are fallen from the Gentile heaven. Only the humble Lamb of Calvary, is forever victorious in heaven and in the hearts of his redeemed pilgrims and soldiers on this earth. Verse 9. The great dragon, the old serpent from Genesis 3, called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world, and his angels were cast out into the earth. The eternal reign of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords has never ceased. The blessings our God gave to Abel, the correction offered to Cain in Genesis 4, witness to God's grace. All men that fervently seek God's grace and salvation find the Father in the Son. All men that stubbornly reject God's grace and salvation call are on the path of self-condemnation and ultimately self-destruction. The saved often were persecuted, but in Christ they are always, always victorious. In his rage or craftiness, Satan fails in the end. The saving grace of God in Christ has been revealed in the life and in the testimony of all the faithful. In our Lord's proclamation of the gospel, the light of the truth and salvation spreads over the entire humanity. In this revelation, our Father sheds abundant light and glory upon our minds, that we would see more of his Son as he truly is. Once again, we are given more enlightenment to see our Savior's Spirit manifested in his gospel messengers. Again, we see the enemy defeated and fallen. Again, we behold our Lord Jesus victorious. Again, we are giving glory to our Father in Christ. As we behold God's majesty, we are filled with his power to be victorious in him. When we are aware of our adversary's downfall, when we know that his success is only a mirage, when our Lord's gospel is our reliance, our soul is not overwhelmed with the tumult of the world in sin and darkness. We hear the heaven and the kingdom on the earth rejoicing with us in our Lord's victory and everlasting salvation. Verse 10. The heavenly echo fills our mind and heart. Salvation, power, and the royal authority of our God are confirmed in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. All the accusations of the devil are overturned for us in Christ. When we are in him, he is in our heart and in our daily walk. Satan's accusations are relentless. He is persistent, day and night. It is the intention of the wicked one to persuade us to trust in our God's grace in sin, to believe in tolerance, indifference, aimlessness, and idleness. Our God's grace is in Christ, and in Christ God's grace is unlimited. His grace is against sin, unto holiness and fervent stewardship. He makes us brave and humble, wise and modest. Satan's gospel is his deception of self-worthiness, self-exaltation, and salvation earned by human goodness. If he sees us relying on mercy and grace in Christ, the devil will try to tell us that our sin is greater than the redeeming power of Christ's offering. Let us always trust and obey our Savior and Master and continue under his lordship. Verse 11. Michael and his angels overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. The heavenly-minded messengers in heaven and in Christ's kingdom on this earth have God's kingdom in their hearts. The blood of the Lamb is our continuous cleansing from sin. when we live in godliness, in Christ, we will suffer persecution. Thus we receive the honor and the privilege of having fellowship in our Lord's suffering. Some of us may be elevated to the true martyrdom. All of us are led to die daily and live in Christ, never to trust in our righteousness, but to grow in faith and knowledge of God's Son. Romans chapter 6 verses 11 through 13 and chapter 8 verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24. In true Christian living, our body and soul are sanctified by the loving lordship of Christ's Spirit. In joy or sadness, suffering or rejoicing, in health or physical sickness, in wealth or material poverty, there is purpose, comfort, and progress in Christ's Spirit. If we face violent death, we are fully aware of our Savior's suffering for us and through us. We are members of His body, and when we leave our remains on earth, we are members of His more than ever before. Philippians chapter 1 verses 20 through 23. We cannot love our lives, but His. We are Christ's property. He is our eternal reward. Genesis 15, 1, verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. In Luke chapter 10, verse 20, and in Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, this heavenly joy is our Father's blessing in His children's heart here on the earth. All the heavenly minded are included in this heavenly rejoicing. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 23, Philippians chapter 1 verse 27, chapter 2 verse 5, chapter 3 verse 15, and chapter 4 verse 7. Our confidence is in our Lord Jesus. We are aware of our enemy as fallen, defeated. This truth is our joy, and the devil's reason for his great wrath. In Christ is our perfect example not to give place to Satan. John chapter 14 verse 30. Charity and fellowship among the redeemed souls is a way of living, more blessed and more delightful than anything the world can offer, let alone fulfill its deceitful enticements. God's children are spared so much harm and suffering by resisting deception and corruption. Our blessed Lord is our great reward now and in eternity. Satan would attack us furiously, but in Christ we are protected. When we suffer persecution and hatred, we know our reward is great. Our enemy has no mercy to his slaves. Their hopes of earthly gain and enjoyment often turn to despair, grief, and bitter disappointments. The world frequently suffers destruction and cruel bloodshed. If they could live in pleasures of their choice until their death, their life in sin would still be a great tragedy. Luke chapter 16 verse 19 and on. In the verse number 9 in this chapter, Satan and his angels were cast down to the earth. In the verse number 12, the earthlings are told that the devil is come down to them. Since the wicked and fallen were cast out and down, how did they land so softly? Could this be a part of the woe? The redeemed and enlightened see every rebellion against the authority of our Lord as a great fall, as it is indeed. The lost, blind, and dead sinners see rebellion against our Almighty God as a natural state of mind and heart. Satan's work appears to them as natural, even preferred method of deceit. In Isaiah 5 are three woes. Verse 20, Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Verse 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Verse 22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, to mingle hot drink. Verse 23. They justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. These woes are the path of the great woe in this chapter 12, verse 12. Our Lord is pure and holy. He never tolerates sin. He himself paid dearly for our redemption. We owe him our soul and body, mind and heart. He keeps us in his care. Satan is furious. He craves to torture God's Son, but he hates to see Christ victorious. The devil lusts to murder Stephen, but he is bitter about seeing this martyr entering glory, the same glory forever lost for him, wicked, self-condemned Lucifer. His time is short. He would like to torture Job until the righteous man gets entangled in devil's rebellion. God led Job to victory and revelation. The enemy would like to see Lazarus, the beggar, defeated and rebellious. But God sent the angels. The devil needs Herod to live long and multiply evil deeds. But God fed the worms. Yes, Satan's time is short. Our King's victory and triumph is forever in adoration of his saved flock and his heavenly hosts. We adore him. He is our King of Kings forever.